Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, you're listening to the Alt in Our Stars podcast, Pupcast. Pup is the name of the band and the name of the guests on this week's episode. Pop punk band from Toronto, Canada, who I had by the Billboard office just a few hours before playing the biggest non-hometown headlining show in their history. It was at Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn. I had a really good time there in the crowd, and actually a lot of things that you could observe in the show actually wound up coming up in this podcast and conversation. You know, there's a lot of moshing, crowd surfing, punk stuff going on at their shows, and I chatted with them about what it's like trying to keep their shows safe for everyone at the show and how the band plays a big role in engaging with their fans. What else did we talk about? There was a lot of Canada talk in this episode. They're repping Toronto, so we chatted about all things from Niagara Falls right on the border up until like the most remote, coldest, most northern shows they've played or heard about in Canada. So I think you'll get a good idea for their homeland. I think you'll get a good idea just for where Pup is right now, a band whose second album is getting a much bigger reception, a lot more attention than their first one. It's an exciting place for them. And when I chatted with them, they were really right in the middle of that. So fun stuff with these guys. And if you enjoy the show, remember, we've been doing this for over a year now, so tons of old episodes to dig into in our archives. Get to those in iTunes, search for the Alt in Our Stars, or just go into the podcast app on your phone, search for Alt in Our Stars there. If you like Pup, we've had Modern Baseball, Mitski, Shamir, a lot of stuff on the show lately I think you'd be into, so you can check all that out. But anyway, here it is, Alt in Our Stars podcast, Pup, enjoy. All right, so we are podcasting Alt in Our Stars podcast in the Billboard office here with Pup. What's up, guys?
Hey, Chris.
Got Stefan.
Yeah.
And Zach.
Yep.
So Pup is on the road again, touring.
Yeah.
So do you hate each other again?
No, I mean, well, yeah, of course.
Of course.
No,
of course.
We never really like, we don't hate each other. That's a misconception. We're all best friends. But we do like touring. You know, you do have your days where you hate everybody, just like real life, except it's just intensified, you know, on the road when you don't have any personal space. But, yeah, at the end of the day, we're all best friends, so, yeah, it's cool.
I agree. I see you looking at me expectantly to be contrary.
It's like, come on, say.
It's true. I mean, anyone with a sibling is going to know the feeling of just, like, constantly being around somebody, so. I mean, you try to annoy each other on purpose, and sometimes you do it by accident as well, so you just end up annoying each other a lot.
Is there, like, an older sibling in the band?
Nestor.
Yeah, Nestor's the most adult. I'm technically the oldest, but Nestor is the most responsible. Well, Stefan's pretty responsible. But.
What makes Nestor the most adult?
He's, like, I feel like he's my dad sometimes. Like, he's,
He's like a stern voice in the chaos, basically. Yeah. If things are going wrong, he pulls it together.
For instance, today, you know, we were driving through New York and we were late for everything, and Nestor, like a good parent, like pulled over to a train station. I would say average, what, 8 a day yeah. times 25 days.
Yeah.
I'm not the best at math. I think that's 120. No.
180?
It's a lot.
I think it's 100. Oh, I don't know. Sure. Whatever.
We didn't go to school for math. We went to school for rock.
I mean, I got back from a road trip down to Tennessee and back not too long ago. Like, there is a certain beauty in seeing different parts of the country, especially on a highway, scenery that you don't normally see. Sure. And even just stopping off in towns to get food to eat, you know, to refuel, meeting people, that can be fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's at a point it blends together. Like, it really blends together. But we did, like, on purpose go to the Grand Canyon, which is an amazing experience. Like, as, like, cliche as a road trip thing as that is, like, you get to do that. And there are a few things that rival that in terms of life experience. So
yeah. I mean, being from, like, Toronto, Canada, you know, Arizona's crazy to drive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet. Yeah, definitely I've been there.
So, yeah, it's cool. We get to see a lot of cool stuff. We're really lucky, you know. We get to do this all the time and... just play music with our friends and see weird stuff, and that rules.
Yeah, I road tripped to Toronto not too long ago, and so went to your home turf. I definitely stopped for a little while with my friends at the Niagara Falls on the Canadian side. Mm-hmm. Much better on that side.
Still pretty crappy, though.
It depends. Yeah, it depends, because it can be pretty, like, gaudy. Kind of. It reminds me, actually, no, the other way around. San Antonio is, like, the Niagara Falls of the South. And it's like, it's just like really gaudy, tourist trappy type place, but it has its charms.
Yeah.
I went on a family vacation there once. The last time I stayed there, that would have been like maybe 12, 13 years ago, maybe more. I was like in middle school or something then. But yeah, I remember there was like a Hard Rock Cafe that I went to.
Yeah.
Tourist things. Live the tourist life.
Yeah. I mean, that's the crazy thing. It's one of like the seven natural wonders of the world. And the falls themselves are rad, obviously. It's an amazing thing that exists. But it's also surrounded by Hard Rock Cafes and casinos and houses of horror and houses of mirrors and water parks and all sorts of screaming, crying children and... you know, it's weird. It's weird to have such a great example of natural beauty, like, you know, perfection, you know, natural perfection just surrounded by all this garbage. It's really strange.
Yeah, I guess we'd really have to dig into the history of how the city of Niagara Falls came to be and how all the tourist traps also came to be around it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I think it's also human nature that you find something you like and you suck all the life out of it while you're trying to enjoy it.
That's human nature. That's really depressing.
I mean, yeah. I mean, human nature is depressing.
But you know what? There wasn't a ton of that at the Grand Canyon. I mean, you drive through the town near the Grand Canyon and there's like McDonald's and stuff. It's not like not commercialized at all. But it's not like you get to the canyon and it's like ride the Grand Canyon roller coaster and puke into the canyon. It's not that kind of thing. So I don't know why that would happen in Niagara Falls and not really there.
I guess there are people that truly love the Grand Canyon for what it is, as opposed to like being a novelty. So it keeps all the crass commercialism at bay, I would think. But anyway.
The deep musings of Puppet Band.
So we got Toronto. We got some Toronto talk in.
Yeah. Yeah, Toronto's a cool city. Although cities kind of make me weird and anxious. No matter what. So walking here through Manhattan, I was kind of freaking out a little bit. Me and Zach were both just like, I mean, we've been here so many times, but it's still just like, man, people in such close quarters and such great numbers freak me out.
Yeah, I've never seen so many people walk in a specific direction really fast without looking up, like just staring at their phone. Like, that's insane. Like, you're going to hurt yourself, it seems obvious. But.
This is right by Grand Central Station, and this is during rush hour on a Friday. So you're always going to have people walking in directions where they want to go, and because it's a Friday during the summer at 5 o'clock or whatever, they're looking up less than usual.
Yep.
It's a terrifying thing. I don't know, man. I don't know about this whole city thing. I'm going to be a weirdo mountain farmer when I'm done with this band thing. Just move to, I don't know, the...
Salmon Arm, BC.
Yeah, the Wyoming of Canada.
And what is that?
Kamloops, British Columbia. Salmon Arm, British Columbia. Somewhere cool in British Columbia, you know.
Huh.
Have you ever been there?
No, but I mean, I've always got the impression from like the area around Vancouver, very picturesque, beautiful water, forests, right?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's great. It's like the Pacific Northwest of the States, except it's kind of everything is a little bit bigger, you know? The mountains are a bit bigger. The ocean is the same ocean, so I can't possibly say that's bigger. But mountains and, yeah, huge redwoods and forests, and it's a really nice place. And there's not very many people, and the people that do live there rarely walk quickly without looking up in any direction.
Yeah, they got their eyes up, polite.
Yeah, saying sorry all the time, apologizing
saying
for everything.
Saying hello.
That was a reflex.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys have been on tour for how long so far? Well, right now,
now. 3 weeks?
Yeah.
This one's 3 weeks. Short run. It's been nice. 3 weeks is a good amount of time for a tour because after 3 weeks, you start to go a little bit mental, I think. But like, it's kind of at the 3 or 4 week mark for me anyways that you start to kind of lose it. And so it feels like we got 2 more days on this tour, and it feels like I'm going to go home before I just like have a total meltdown, which is great. It's a first.
Yeah, and I've heard the crowds have been pretty wild on this tour so far, like so much that at times you've had to sort of just calm things down and make sure everyone's okay in the middle of the show.
Some of them.
Yeah, like there are incidents, but it's, I mean, by and large, people are very respectful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is, that's good, but we have had to like lay the hammer down a bit in some places.
What does that mean?
Just tell people to be respectful to each other. Like we've had people, without making a giant thing about it, we've had people touched inappropriately at some shows. Okay. So it's like telling people to be respectful of each other. It's where you can't all have a good time if you're inflicting that on somebody. So it's
That was a definite isolated incident.
Yeah, definitely isolated.
Definitely. That's not what
it's not the norm.
Happened. I mean, I would say our shows have been getting pretty rowdy, but in a really overwhelmingly positive way. The only time that we really need to kind of like slow things down is when, you know, the venue has oversold the shows by accident, and even then everyone's still like having a great time and it's really positive, but it's just like some of those DIY venues don't have air conditioning and it gets real hot in the summer in the south and people just need a 3-minute water break sometimes, you know.
Yeah
they're like, the great thing about our fans that I've seen across the board is they'll stop us and like during a song if someone's fallen down in the pit, which is like, it's a very stop and go show, but it's like making sure everyone is good so everyone can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So everyone's really respectful and helpful and very aware, which is cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask like when you're on stage how you find out about that, if someone's hurt or being touched inappropriately, but it seems like the fans take care of a lot of that for you.
Yeah definitely.
Self-policing goes a long way.
And I mean like, you know, the level that we're at, we're not playing like, except for in a couple cities, we're not playing huge venues. We're playing like pretty small venues, and obviously the front is the rowdiest, so we're still kind of like close enough to the audience where we can kind of do our best anyways to keep an eye on things. But usually we don't have to. Everyone's cool. It's been fun. It's been really fun.
Yep.
Yeah. How do you think your fan base has come to be that way? Because it seems like just a lot of good people are the people who come to pup shows.
I don't know. That's their doing. Just good parenting. I don't know.
I guess in some way you are the parents.
Not really.
Nestor. I
mean, Nestor's in charge. He's a good parent. I don't know. It's like, I think as time goes on, it's becoming more and more of an inclusive scene. Obviously not perfect, but you just get a lot of good people in the same place and there's going to be an eminent respect. So it works. It just like somehow works out a lot of the time. It's cool.
Yeah, I think people in this scene, whatever this scene is, are just, they're young and they're respectful and they're PC, you know, and they understand that, like, you can have a good time, but you can't have a good time at other people's expense. And we just, maybe it has to do with, you know, the fans that we've gotten by touring with really kind of great bands who are conscious of, you know, socially conscious bands and stuff like that. Because all the bands that we've toured with, like supporting, have all been like really positive people, and the people who go to those shows are all very respectful. So I think we inherited a good crowd from a lot of the bands that we toured with.
I also wonder if there's an added pressure because they know we're Canadian and we're like, we invented the politeness. So they're like, okay, we got to impress these guys, so let's behave.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Wheels Ontario?
Yeah, that's Nick Pardon. Kroll or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've seen clips. It's not like, I know it's a send up of Drake, basically.
But yeah. Part of his thing is he just says, pardon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone says sorry and like,
yeah.
In Canada, like, if somebody walks into you, you say sorry. Yeah. But you both say sorry so that, you know, you
can... Sorry for not anticipating your walking error.
Yeah. I like it, though. It's nice.
Yeah. With getting back to what we were talking about with your fans, I mean, even some bands, like, in the scene, I guess you'd call it, like, Modern Baseball and Speedy Ortiz even have, like, hotlines where people can call and report things that, like, are being done at shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of that is leading awareness of taking care of people.
Yeah, it's awesome. They're very, very aware. Like, they are personally aware of the bands, and they're trying to just make it as inclusive as possible, which is amazing. That's, like, everyone can have fun. What's wrong about that?
So. Yeah. It's really cool to also play shows and, like, I mean, a lot of the times we play 21-plus shows, but we try to do all ages as much as possible, and it's really cool because at our shows in particular, there's a pretty big spread. Like, at the front, you'll have a bunch of 16-year-old kids going off, and in the middle, you'll have the mid-20s guys just standing. And then at the back, we always got, you know, 15 to 20, like, punk dads, like, 40 and 50-year-olds just being like, all right. Let the kids have fun and let's just take this in. And it's cool. I feel really lucky that we have such a respectful and varied fan base.
Yeah. And like, you guys have played Warped Tour like last year, right?
Yeah.
And even there's been issues of like...
Oh, there more than anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. So, go ahead.
We've just had like great... Like, even there, we had great crowds.
Uh-huh.
So it just follows us. We're very lucky. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, because what I'm getting at here is, like, even across pop punk or, you know, punk or whatever you want to call it, it seems like not everyone is as aware of these things as the people who come to pup shows, even across the genre.
I mean, yes and no. Like, what I was saying before is, like, I think the bands that we have toured with in the past, like, you know, like Modern Baseball and Menzingers and that crew, their fans are very respectful. And those are the outspoken bands who are like, you know, kind of champions of the safe scene movement, if that's what you want to call it or whatever. And so just naturally, I think we've inherited a lot of those fans, and it's been really great for us.
Yeah, it's awesome. And like, I will say we're very lucky in having the fans we do, but I also would say that there's, like, sometimes there's stuff we don't know about, and I'd want to hear about that. That's just, like, we need it to be inclusive. It needs to be talked about, so.
Yeah, do you have any idea of, like, who maybe was a forefather of the safe scene? Like, where this comes from, where this mentality started?
I mean, I don't know where it started, but, like, you know, one thing that we were talking about in the van the other day was, like, that Joyce Manor crowd surfing thing. And I love Joyce Manor, one of my favorite bands. And, you know, I mean, we love crowd surfing at our shows if it's safe, and we're not taking a stance on that one way or another. But I think that... what they did was just kind of really open that dialogue about, like, you know, the fact that, you know, punk rock or pop punk or whatever you call it, like, it doesn't have to be dangerous to be fun, and it can still be rowdy. Like our goal is always to have the rowdiest shows possible before there's any semblance of danger.
Yeah,
you know, and that is totally a doable thing. And like, do a show where you know, a big part of the crowd is going off, but every single person feels safe and they feel like the people around them are protecting them, and that's a great thing. We played in Boston last night, and it felt really good. It was like there wasn't a single person who looked uncomfortable to me, and it was nice. Yeah,
let's drop in some music. This is album opener. If this tour doesn't kill you, I will.
Clean your filthy conscience.
So I think my favorite part of the album is the transition from that song, If This Tour Doesn't Kill You, I Will, into DVP. It's just such a tight transition from song to song. So tell me about how that came together.
I mean, literally, they're in the same key. So it's just like jam it together. It's not like, it's cool though. Like it makes for like a cool, at least I think a cool, like almost four part song in total, where you have like the beginning, which is quiet, and then you have like the crazy, what did Dave call it? Our producer Dave called it like the samba part. And then there's the Weezer part, and then there's DVP, which it's just like a cool thing. There's no mystery behind it.
What do you call like the whistling part in DVP?
Oh, that's I call that yodeling.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to write a song with yodeling in it. I was like, that's something punk bands don't really do.
Very tasteful yodeling, though.
Exactly. It's all about being tasteful.
Yeah. Yeah, that song, Frontier Psychiatrist, do you know that song? By the Avalanche? That's
a hockey team, not a band.
Anyway, yeah, never mind. Strike that from the record.
Or what? The Avalanche?
Yeah, it's an older song. I may be dating myself. But it's
the title sounds really familiar for some reason. What was like what around when was it?
I don't know. I'm just pulling stuff out and I'm okay. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'll be the first to admit that.
is it the Avalanches?
It might be, I don't know.
Okay.
It's like really I can't profess to actually know anything.
The Colorado Avalanche.
The hockey team.
Featuring
made a song.
Joe Sakic.
Lots of yodeling. Yeah, Joe Sakic was yodeling a lot on that track.
But remind me what was the connection to DVP?
There's yodeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, there we are.
Yeah. There's a connection, yeah.
Tasteful yodeling.
Yeah. We got there. It's fine.
So when you wrote both those songs, did you kind of come up with them around the same time and just play them back to back? Like, what drew them together like that?
I think, yeah, no, we didn't write them at the same time. And I think that from the moment that we wrote If This Tour Doesn't Kill You, I Will, we knew that that was kind of going to be the album opener. And yeah, like Zach said, there's not much mystery to it. Just like DVP is a rowdy song that belongs at the front of a record and not at the back end of a record, and they're in the same key. And then we just did it one time and we're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Done deal.
Like, yeah. Tour ends with a big chord that is the same chord as the first chord of DVP. So it's like, I mean, if you don't do that, you're kind of stupid. So
basically. Yeah. So I saw the Vitus show, and I'm pretty sure you guys played them back to back then, right?
Well, actually, at that show, we didn't really play tour. I kind of played the first half of it alone, and that wasn't something that we had really planned on doing. Those were kind of weird couple shows because we had taken a long time off playing shows to kind of recover from some bad stuff that happened. And so I was just kind of feeling weird before that show, and I just felt like I should go out and say something and explain some stuff to the crowd. And so I played the quiet part, and then and Zach just ripped into DVP, and we're like, all right, that's cool. Let's do that.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't think we were even playing If This Tour Doesn't Kill You, I Will in its proper form at that point. We were just kind of messing around.
Yeah, so I'm just assuming at this point, I haven't been to the tour yet. I'm going tomorrow at Music Hall. Have you been playing them back to back?
Yeah, most of the time.
Okay.
It's cool. I like doing it. I kind of feel like they've become one song in my brain now. And
yeah, I feel like it's the phenomenon of like whispering in a loud room. Everyone kind of kneels in to pay attention. Like, and that's, I think it has that effect, which is kind of cool. Because people expect us, like, at this point, to be kind of brash and loud from the get-go, mm-hmm. and that's, like, I mean, without letting too many of our secrets out, that's, I think it's cool that people will pay attention, because we're being quiet, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was going to ask, is it hard, it could be hard to eventually pry those two songs apart.
I mean, yes and no, but I mean, we've done, like, shows where we played them separately, and we've done sessions where we've like just done one of the songs or whatever, but like it does kind of, the more we do it, the more it feels like a package deal to me.
Yeah So we're in New York. I just mentioned the Music Hall show tomorrow night, Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn. That's probably one of the biggest, like at least capacity wise one of the biggest shows on the tour.
It would be, I guess, the second biggest after Toronto.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Tell me what the Toronto show was like.
Yeah, it was at this place called The Phoenix. It's a 1,200 capacity room.
Okay.
And we sold out. It was by far, like, the biggest headline show we've ever, like, by far. I think prior to that, the biggest headline show we'd ever, you know, played and sold out was in a 500 cap room. So we more than doubled it. And it was weird. It was weird, man. Like, in a good way, but like, it was kind of like one of these things where it's like we grew up going to that venue and seeing like big, like real bands, you know, real bands play there. You know, we saw Spoon there last year.
Avalanche.
Yeah. Fuck, love that yodeling, man.
Yeah, yodeling. It really sounds good in that room.
But yeah, they're just like, you know, so many like great real bands that we idolize like have played that room, and then it was never a thing that like I thought we would ever even come close to the level of being able to headline that room and to do it, and the show went really great, and that was just, it seems surreal. Like I'm still not positive that it happened.
Yeah,
I feel like it probably happened because I've seen pictures and stuff, but like I might have dreamt it. I don't know. It was cool. Toronto's always been real like supportive of us. I feel like there aren't that many Canadian punk bands that kind of you know, get a foot in the door outside of Canada. It's really hard to kind of break out of Canada if you're a Canadian band. Even if you're like a really great band and you do really well in Canada, it's hard to like, you know, get your foot in the door in America. So I feel like when that started to happen for us, you know, Canada and Toronto in particular really kind of rallied behind us, and it's been like, you know, the city's just been so supportive, and we're lucky to come from that city and have people who are like, you know, they want us to succeed, you know. That's a cool feel. More than just liking your band, like people want to see you, you know, people in that city, they want to see us do well, you know, and that's a really like nice a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, you're nominated for the Polaris Prize.
Oh, on long list. Yeah, that's yeah, awesome. Long list. It's, they're like, they're literally the
people. It's a long list.
I mean, a lot of albums are released in Canada that not a lot of people know about, and they're all great. So
they're not all great.
Well, I mean,
a lot of them are.
A
great.
Lot of them are great. What I mean to say is, it's an honor to be included among them.
Yes, definitely. So,
yeah, some great artists, and there's some amazing people that champion us when they don't have to. So it's super cool.
If you win the $50,000 prize, what are you going to do with it?
So much Bud Light.
Yeah.
No.
That'd be so much Bud Light.
I don't know. We haven't.
It'd have to be Molson, right?
I mean, we have Bud Light. I'm sorry. But it's not quite as good as Molson.
Well, let's be straight here. It's 50,000 Canadian, so I don't know.
You'd probably get a Big Mac meal in New York. I think that's the exchange, roughly, I would think.
That's more money than I've ever contemplated, so I don't know. I feel like I would just like dig a hole. I'd be like, I'm going to take this money, I'm going to bury it in a time capsule. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens.
Oh, man. Any real answer is going to be boring. So I would say I'd fill a truck with concrete and drive it off a cliff and see what happens.
We used to play band lottery where we would just like always band fund a lottery ticket. When we had a good merch night at a show. And Zach always had this thing that he wanted to do where it was to install one of those megaphone things on top of the van. You know, the things that have the speakers directions.
Like a police van that's yelling things out.
Or like an ice cream truck.
Yeah.
Or that. Yeah,
and so that we could just yell at people as we go. Just, I really love that idea. So maybe we'll do that if we win the 50 grand.
I mean, we'd probably have like 40, at least 45 grand left over. But that'll probably cover the fines we get for disturbing the peace. So that'll be all right.
New merch for Shale at the show tonight.
Oh man, people would hate us.
I think Zach's plan was to do it more aggressively, not to use it to promote the band, more just to use it to just yell at people.
Like public criticism, just like if we're stuck in traffic and I find someone's haircut annoying or something. Just that kind of thing.
But probably very polite criticism still.
Yeah, excuse me, polite. Sir.
please cut your hair.
I'm sure it's fine.
I like it.
Yeah, very passive aggressive.
Let's do that. You know what? I don't think we even need to win the 50 grand to do that. I think we can, you know what? I think we can probably just find the money and just do it.
Or we should Kickstarter the band van yelling machine.
What if the shortlist was like you guys, White Lung, Dilly Dally, and who else? Oh, the Strumbellas. You did the Crying Jordan on them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It would be them and Drake, and just Drake beats everyone and wins the 50,000.
I mean, it's possible. Fine. It's always on. It's like on artistic merit. So if he wins, he's the best guy. So
I mean, I feel like very little disappoints us at this point. Yeah. We're just like, oh yeah, that's fine.
I mean, Drake seems like, I've never met him, but he seems like a really nice guy. So it's like, I mean, if he wins, cool.
And you know what? Whenever things don't exactly work out, we don't really get too bummed. We just look at each other and be like, what do you want to do? Let's go on tour.
Yeah, let's just keep working.
Let's go on tour.
Let's go look at the desert again in Arizona and see what's up.
Which of you was the one that did the Crying Jordan? So it's for context. This was the Strumbellas, also nominated for the award. We're previously on this podcast. You put the Crying Jordan on the faces of all the people in the parade on their cover.
Yeah, that was Steve.
That was Steve. Yeah, he's our social media guru.
Yeah. The thing about the Strumbellas is we're pals with them. And it's really funny because I really love their band. And I feel like they really love our band. And we also play in totally separate scenes in the sense that we'll never, ever like probably play shows unless it's like a crazy festival or something. Mm-hmm. We're never going to like, play shows or tour together. But we just like really like each other's bands, and we share a producer, Dave Schiffman, and we just like have a lot of like weird things in common with this like folk pop band that I think is just really amazing. And it's kind of nice to have those band friends who are just like so far out of your world.
I don't know, OVO Fest 2017. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll fit right in so will they. That'll be perfect.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, when Drake wins the Polaris Prize, we'll just call him up and be like, "Hey, how about as a what's it called, a consolation prize?"
I feel like it would be when Drake has a midlife crisis. He's just like, he throws out all the rap and he's like, "Let's do folk. It's like it's an unexplored frontier. Let's do that."
You know what I was wondering the other day? Drake's from Toronto. We're from Toronto. I wonder if Drake has ever heard of our band. Because I would be stoked if he had even heard of it. You know what? Our producer, like one time, I think about this stuff a lot. Like our producer one time, he got a random call out of the blue from Johnny Depp being like, I want you to do this thing that I'm working on, whatever, I won't get into it. But then, but he was like, yeah, what are you doing right now? He's like, I'm in Toronto, I'm working with a band called Pup, and now I know that Johnny Depp has heard of our band, and I'm like so crazy. Stoked.
I'm sure he immediately forgot it because he has much better things to do, but that's pretty cool. For at least like half a second, he knew about us.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Pretty awesome.
We made it, guys. Yeah,
to the big time.
Let's buy for quotes.
Yep.
Let's play some more music. This is DVP. We were just talking about it. Boom, here it is. Yeah, so Stefan, I wanted to talk about vocals, vocal cords, because I know you had to, you know, postpone, cancel some dates, went through some stuff, referenced in the album title. We won't really get into that because it's been in like every single bit of pop press so far, so we'll leave that for people to figure out. But how are your vocals feeling right now?
Feeling great. I'm good. I did a lot of stuff to make them better, and now it's feeling good.
Steroids.
Not steroids, although I did
go HGH.
I did go through a brief period where a doctor prescribed me like prednisone to help out with the vocal cords, and that was a horrible decision. So I just did that for like a few days, and I was like, nope, I'm becoming crazy. Let's not do that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
So here I am. I'm speaking again, singing sometimes, screaming sometimes. It's cool. I feel a lot better. I feel like... I feel like it was real bad for a minute there. I had like I still have a cyst on my vocal cord, and I hemorrhaged my vocal cords, and that's like every singer's worst nightmare. But it was bad for a minute, and I just feel like it was kind of a bit of a blessing in disguise, because you know, we toured for like 2 years straight, like nonstop, and I think in a way, like, just having my body be like, you need to stop, you need to take like a 4 month break and like figure your stuff out, was really good for all of us. I think like just taking a step back and like realizing that we're all human beings who need to take care of ourselves and maybe shouldn't be touring, you know, 12 months of the year, that was a kind of a good positive experience in the end.
So you think just taking some time off, resting it, because you guys were touring so much, probably more than most other artists, that you think that just is what had to do with putting the strain on the vocals?
Yeah, I mean, we went through times where we were playing like 35 shows in a row, like without a day off. We were doing, you know, we did tours where we did 2+ shows a day. We're bad at saying no to things. And I'm also bad at not going. I mean, all four of us, we go all out, but at every show, like even, you know, we were playing to 3 people and I'd still be screaming my guts out in the same way that Zach is beating the crap out of his drums, and like, you know, Steve and Nestor are just ripping as hard as they can. We're all just ripping all the time. But you know, you don't really get, I guess, like guitar hand injuries. You get vocal injuries, right? So, it was just kind of a reminder, like having all those things go wrong was just kind of a reminder that we're just human, and like, you know, sometimes you can't play 35 shows in a row and do that, and it just, you can't expect that of yourself, you know? So, I'm a little healthier now. I drink a little bit less, and I don't smoke weed when we're on tour, and I eat better, and I sleep more, and we don't do 35 shows in a row, and you know, I have a great doctor and a great vocal coach, and just like learning to do it, you know?
Yeah, so it's like a whole life thing.
Yeah.
You know, 24 hours a day that you have to do, you know, take time out to make sure that when you go on stage, you sound good.
Yeah. I mean, when you know, it was really exciting for us when we started touring full time, and you make a lot of stupid decisions when you're, you know, excited, and but yeah, it's all good now. Like, I mean, I've taken a lot of steps to kind of you know, be healthier, and also it was a kind of a reminder for all the guys in the band. I think everybody after that, like, you know, everyone is like, I want to be healthier. And it's not like we wake up and do yoga together and, you know, mm-hmm. eat vegan or anything. Like, we're still like kind of, you know, semi pieces of garbage.
Yeah, we're trash.
But like, it's just like the kind of thing where it's like, hey, I'm going to get a burger today, but also let's sub out those fries for some salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I've even, as far as protecting your vocals all the time, I've heard of artists just like not wanting to do press or just like talking to people less casually after shows because they want to rest their vocals.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like when I'm having vocal problems now, I just stop talking to the guys. And it's really tough. Like sometimes we'll do like, you know, 10-hour drives and they'll all be joking and I'll just be silent. And it's really hard for me. Like, it really makes me bummed out to not participate, and it makes me feel really isolated and alone. But at the end of the day, like, if I do that and the next day my voice is back and I can talk and play a good show, and you know, that's it's important. So
it's like, I got a fire joke right now, but yeah. I'm gonna hold it back. No. Gotta be able to sing.
Or I just write it down and I'm like, wait, pay attention to me for a second. Look at this joke.
I'll just tweet this.
And none of the jokes.
I'll act
actually,
the whole band.
Like, if you've ever been in a van with a band, none of the jokes are actually good. It's just stupid.
I feel like we got all the good jokes out on the first tour.
Yeah, I think it's done. I think we're just idiots now.
I mean, normally it's like a group of friends. The jokes are all insiders mostly, so they're funny to you guys, but then other people hear them or you tell them for the first time to someone else and it's like, oh.
Yeah,
yeah, that's dumb. No, I think we're very aware of how stupid we are.
Also, I'm not really the funny one, so it's fine for me to be quiet.
I don't think any of us are the funny one.
I think you're the fun. You don't give yourself enough credit. You're a pretty funny guy, Zach.
I feel like I just say it. I put things out into the universe, and they're usually dumb, and maybe people receive them okay. So it's
yeah. With touring, do you guys ever think about, like, I know you guys have spent a lot of time like sleeping on floors, you know, doing a lot of shows at once, obviously touring in a van, as we've been talking about. Do you ever think about playing bigger shows, festivals, moving up to a bus, just all of what that entails?
I mean, we have started to play slightly bigger shows, and, you know, we play a bunch of festivals, and that's cool, but there's never any expectation of that, you know? Like, I mean, none of us expected this band to be anything, you know, more than just four guys making music that they liked, you know? And so every time we make it to the next level and things feel good, it's kind of like I remind myself, like, this is probably the pinnacle, and just you should enjoy it, and it could disappear tomorrow, or not even disappear. Like, maybe this is just as good as it gets, and that's really good enough because it's better than any of us expected. So, yeah, I think we all have low expectations of how successful this band's going to be. So anytime anything good happens, it's like the icing on the cake.
Yeah, I feel like the question is, like, if it all disappeared, would you be proud of what you've done so far? I think that's a big driving. And it's like the pride comes from knowing how much work you put into it. And we've all put it, like, that's all we expect to do, really. The only expectation we have in general is to work. So that's, yeah. And I think, I mean, if it ended today, I feel like we did something good. So,
I mean, I feel like a lot will come together once the year ends. Like, you know how with media and journalism works with year-end lists and year-end, you know, everything. I think a lot of people are going to be excited about the dream is over. And there's going to be a lot of moments of like, wow, people really love this album.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Someone in that world, I really think so.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's like, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it doesn't, then, I mean, it doesn't, like, I have so many really, really, really talented friends who would give their left arm to, you know, get to do what we're doing. So we already feel really lucky. And of course it would be great if, you know, things got better and, you know, we made a real living. Like, I mean, we make a living doing this, mm-hmm. but like if we made like a normal person's salary doing it, that would be incredible. But there's no expectations of that. And if this is as big as it gets, man, that's still awesome. Like, we just played, you know, 18 sold out shows in a row. Like, yeah, they were small rooms mostly, but that's an amazing feeling, you know. Yeah. And we just had like 18 nights of like tons of fun and good times with our friends. And, you know, like, most people don't get to experience that. So I feel really grateful.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of hardships would come from when you get to a certain level and you feel like you have to keep pushing it forward, but it doesn't seem like that's at all what your mindset is.
I mean, I think, tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I think we're always going to want to push it forward in terms of, you know, the product that we make. Like, I want every record that we write to be better than the one before, mm-hmm. or for at least for us to feel like it was better than the one before. But, there's no expectation that people are just going to keep jumping on board with this more and more. I mean, like, whatever, I can't, you know, none of us can control whether people like what we do or not. The only thing that we control is, like Zach said, like, how much work we put into it. And hopefully that work means that we just make stuff that we like more than the last thing we made.
Yeah. Making a more concise statement every time,
mm-hmm.
just refining what we do, and it's good to our ears. That's all I care about, really.
It's funny to say make a more concise statement after I just like ramble.
I promise that wasn't a dig.
Yeah, because I think, like, say if you had a rock band who one album is huge and you started to play arenas, right, and then the next one kind of plateaued, and then one fell off, and the band had to like kind of come down. Just from like watching artists for a while and seeing how things are, I can see how that would just mess with people and like really discourage you.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, I mean, this is just speculation, but I feel like a lot of people are told yes a lot. And not that we are denied things, because we have the most supportive team possible, I think, but we are very self-critical. And we build from that. And just because I think there's that level of self-awareness, we are able to build every time on what we do. So, like, I can't see the future, but I would hope we don't become what you're describing. That, like, the ultimate end game is every record is a step forward,
mm-hmm.
like, artistically and so forth, without getting too hoity-toity about it.
Hoity-toity.
Yeah. Old-fashioned term.
Let's play some of the from some of the first album. This is Reservoir.
Yeah,
still a staple in the set, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What is it like with, because probably when you were playing shows, it was basically just playing the first album. What is it like having to phase out certain songs?
It's awesome.
Yeah. I guess you're tired of them?
No, well, yeah. And I mean, like, you know, we're proud of every song that's been on either record, but there are ones that are definitely less fun for us to play. So it's been cool. And also on this tour, it's been really interesting. I guess like every band who makes a second record probably experiences this, but what we've experienced was, like, you know, at the beginning of the tour, the first few shows, which happened right when the record came out, people were into the whole set, but they didn't know the new songs yet, so it was kind of like the new songs represented the mellower sections of our set. And as we've seen every show, like, those songs have gotten kind of rowdier, to the point where now, at the end of this tour, I think the highlights of the set in terms of the crowd reaction are all in the new song. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, now that I think about it, that's a good metric for telling how well fans like an album. How much of the new or newest album in the set goes over well, and how it does compared to the old songs.
Yeah.
And that's like, and if I was in Pup, I'd be really encouraged by that, because it sounds like the new songs, it's the exact opposite of like when a band is touring and everyone comes there to hear the first album and they're on like their fourth album.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like, it's extremely gratifying. Like referring to last night, having everyone singing along to what I consider a deep cut on the album, which is Familiar Patterns. Like, that's insane. That, like, it came out 3 weeks ago, and everyone knows all the words, and that's crazy. And, like, someone did a drum cover on YouTube of Familiar Patterns.
I didn't
No
see
one
that.
Ever does drum covers yeah. for our band.
You really like that.
So it's, like, I mean, it's cool. It's really flattering, and it's, like, very gratifying to see that progression.
What was that like for you? Were you like, oh, you missed the ghost notes in the second verse?
There aren't any ghost notes in the verse. But, no, I mean, I'm not going to actively critique. It's just flattering. It's super cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else. Yeah, because David, mutual friend, told me a couple questions to ask. One of them was, "What are some pet peeves? What are some pet peeves you have at venues that you deal with?"
Which David are we?
David
talking?
Lefcourt.
David Lefcourt. Oh. Our front of house guy.
Our friend. Yes.
Yeah.
It's his birthday today.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
I knew it was around now. I got to wish him a happy birthday.
Yeah. I don't know. David has, David and, you know, the other guys who we've had work front of house for us have erased a lot of those problems. One time, we played the show in Montreal, and this was before we had a sound guy, and we did a sound check, and the sound guy was like, "All right, it sounds fine, but like, maybe you should just scream less because you're not a very good screamer." And I was like, "What the hell? Like, what? Yeah, you're right, but like, what the hell are you talking about?"
Guy's like a huge metalcore fan.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
Like our buddy who was in the audience, who was also a live sound engineer, he just yelled, "What the hell are you talking about?" And the sound guy turns around. He's like, "You want to do my job?" And our friend was like, "Yes." So the guy got fired on the spot, and our friend did sound instead.
Which
was like a triumph.
All right.
That was
it
great.
It was amazing.
But I can't think of any pet peeves. I really like when a venue has like more than one pisser, because you really need to pee before you play, and there's like a lineup of like 10 people, that can be not great. But I don't know. Can you think of anything, Zach?
Not really. I mean, I like it when there's water there. Water's good. Usually there's water at places, so there's not a problem.
Hydration.
Yeah, hydration is important.
You guys mentioned overselling a venue. I don't know if that's really a pet peeve. It might make the show more fun, but it's a thing that venues do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, some venues do it, and sometimes it's cool, and sometimes, you know, we've had a couple shows on this tour where the venues were oversold and the air conditioning was broken, and, you know, on really hot days, that can be hard for everybody. I mean, like, we have to, there's been a couple shows where it was just so hot and, you know, packed and no AC that we could see people were just like about to faint. And like by song five, they're like, I can't be rowdy anymore. So we would just kind of chill out for 5 minutes and pass out waters and stuff. But that's pretty, that doesn't really, that's like, those are kind of few and far between, those gigs. Usually, you know, when you play in Texas in June and July and August, they tend to have air conditioning.
Yeah, I mean, the smart ones. Like, that's the, I mean, that's the physicality of playing in a heat, like a hot environment. But mm-hmm. the amazing thing is, like, if we ever have to draw back, like, our energy, the crowd picks it up. Like, we've had a couple shows on this tour where, like, as Stefan was saying, there was no AC, and we had to, like, just by virtue of we're playing an hour-long set and we don't want to fall asleep during the set so we can keep playing it, we have to, like, reserve a little, but the crowd just picks it up. And, like, oftentimes they're louder than us, which is insane. Like, that, and that's really cool that they would be singing so loud that we can't hear ourselves. That's, I mean, that's one of the most unique feelings that you have.
Yeah. Wow. It must, it, I guess, it's very different going to the, like, deep parts of Texas in the summer. Are there ever, like, cold shows?
Yeah, we're from Canada, yes. Man. We tour Canada in the winter.
That's what I was getting at. Brutal. What's, like, the furthest north you play?
I mean,
not that far.
I mean, no. Just, you know what? All the major cities in Canada are right along the American border.
Right.
So they're all about as far north, a little bit further north than, say, Buffalo. But, I mean, I remember one time, I think we were in Regina, Saskatchewan, yeah. Real place. And it was like the winter and we were touring, and it was like cold. That day was colder than the surface of Mars.
Like, not hyperbolic. It was literally... That, like, minus, I think it might be the same, minus 40 Celsius might also be minus 40 Fahrenheit, but it's, like, it's cold. Like, you open the door to outside, and instantly the air condenses, like a cloud forms in the room.
Right.
It's crazy. It was so miserable.
Yeah, that was pretty, but for the most part, I like that. I mean, I like the cold. I like winter.
Yeah.
We're Canadian. We are, it's the law.
Yeah, it's illegal not to like winter.
With that place in Saskatoon, I'm curious because I've never been. Is it more that it's so far north or more that it's just very landlocked and that it's like in the middle and it gets cold that way?
Yeah, it's like a prairie, you know? Yeah. It's just like wind picks up and it's pretty far north, but it's also just like there's no obstruction of the wind and it gets pretty brutal.
At night especially. It's like the desert. Like, the desert's hot during the day, but at night it can get really cold. It's like that times 1,000.
Yeah. What's, like, the northernmost that, like, bands will go through in Canada?
You can do, like, festival stuff in the Yukon.
Really?
And stuff like that, but there's not really a touring circuit. That's just, like, festival stuff. But, like, you know, bands, I mean, this isn't Canada, but bands play Alaska. That's probably as far north as you really get in a normal kind of situation before you're like doing that crazy thing that the White Stripes did and flying into like weird.
Right. They were like trying to hit all the like places they'd never been before on a tour. This is kind of recently. And I think it was just Jack White.
No, I don't know. Maybe he's done it again. There was some documentary about him. Like, I mean, they flew around and they like played all these weird places. I think they played in like Nunavut, which is like a territory in Canada that has like the lowest population density of, I don't know. Nobody lives there, but they played a show there. That's kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really like a White Stripes guy, but I would say like if, you know, to achieve that level of success, that's a really cool way to kind of like take advantage of your position is to like do a bunch of weird shows and like strange communities who have never seen a rock show before, like that would be awesome. Yeah. You know,
yeah, pay them some attention that they don't otherwise get.
Yeah, like that's awesome for the crowd and for the band, you know. That's what a wild experience that must have been.
Like Chino from Deftones just played inside a volcano in Iceland.
Man, that's awesome,
right? Or like Metallica played Antarctica a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah,
that's super cool.
That's crazy. That's probably real bad for the environment that they did it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I love that one.
Well, it was inside a dome. It was like protected from the outside.
Okay. Was it built just for them, or was it?
I don't know. Probably like flew in like 500 planes worth of their whatever stage show. I don't know. Yeah. But anyways, I'm making assumptions on things that I know nothing about, so I'll just stop that. Yeah, we have that bucket list too. Our bucket list's a little more realistic. You know, like we want to go to Japan and, you know, play Mexico City and like places that like bands norm, like you can play those places. It's not that hard. But I also wanted to do this thing. There was this festival in Canada in the Yukon called Frostbite Music Festival that ran in February. So it's like dark for 22 hours of the day or something, and it's like super cold. And I really wanted to do that, but I think that festival kind of went under because who goes to the Yukon so in February cold. To see a Canadian music festival? Like, but so that dream is over.
Wow! Way to tie it all back. Well, yeah, that's basically all I have at my end. Was there anything else you guys want to touch on?
I don't know.
I think we're super stoked. I think everything's been real cool for, everything's been really cool for the past 3 years, but like definitely in the past 3 months especially, I just feel really lucky to, you know?
Get to play cool shows.
And come places like this and drink beers with you and did I reveal something I shouldn't have revealed?
You gotta throw out the sponsorship now. The Bud Light.
Bud Light, yeah.
I already made reference to Bud Light early in the podcast. You go back, you listen, I already talked about it.
Cranking some Bud Lights.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for doing this, Chris. That's awesome. Like it's really cool to, you know, come here and hang out and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good to learn about parts of Canada I never heard about before.
Regina, Saskatchewan. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it gets really cold in Regina.
Pup, listen to the album. Dream is over. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
So, yeah, that's it. Alt and Our Stars with Pup. Had a blast chatting with those guys. A lot of other old episodes I think you'd be into if you dig Pup, like Modern Baseball, who I had on recently, and we talked about stuff like this.
We were all, like, keeping up with each other during everything that was going on. I feel like, honestly, the more surprising aspects lyrically were your half.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can get to Modern Baseball, Beach Slang, Mitski, Shamir, all sorts of good stuff I've had on the show in the past in the Alt and Our Stars archives. Just go to iTunes, search for the Alt and Our Stars, search for it in the podcast app of your phone, or if you're viewing this, listening to this within billboard.com right now inside the story, go to the last paragraph and there's a link there that will take you to iTunes. You can also subscribe along with listening to old episodes, get the podcast every week, subscribe. And also, it just helps a lot to get a star rating. Whatever you thought about the show, let me know. It all goes to a good place to help make the show better. More ratings mean it's easier to get the show noticed. Good placement on iTunes, the main page, stuff like that. So, feedback very much appreciated. And the show runs every Friday. You'll get a new one next week. So until then, peace out, everybody.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.